This morning we are going to chase our same theme for the week. What is our theme this week? All right, our theme is faith. And you guys have been in your Bible studies here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. We're going to be in Matthew 14 if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. We'll be there in just a minute. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one for you. Or maybe you didn't bring it today, you can follow along in the bulletin or it's on the wall. But if you do need a Bible, if you'd let us know, we'd be glad to get one for you, okay? So Matthew 14 is where we're going to be, and as always, we want to take some time to talk beforehand. So this is going to be called Responsive Faith, so I'm going to need some response, okay? Need some response from you. So what we're really dealing with is faith is not just a belief or a thought, but faith influences how I live. True? Right, so you've demonstrated faith just in this room this morning by bending your knees and sitting down. And there wasn't a person in this room who thought, I wonder if this pew's going to hold me. Right? And so most of us, I would say, probably put our key in the ignition and just assumed it was going to start. Right? So we demonstrate kind of faith in all sorts of ways, and we're going to talk about how faith is supposed to be lived out. It's not just something that I have within. It's not just something that's saving me. That's absolutely true. But it's something that should be coming out of me as well. It should be affecting how I think and live and move and act, speak, everything. And so that will be the gist of where we're heading today. Some other ways we demonstrate faith, though, I think, is when we're driving. We've got to have a lot of faith in road signs, right? You ever been somewhere, headed somewhere, where you didn't really know where you were going? Always. But so what do you trust in? The road signs, right? Make sure you got enough gas in your tank. We trust in the road signs, right? Because I don't know where I'm headed, but I know the map says if I get on this route and stay on this route, I'll end up there. Okay? And so that's kind of how we demonstrate faith. I can remember one of the first times I crossed the Poplar Street Bridge driving. We were coming from West Plains, Missouri, going to Detroit, Michigan. And when we got to St. Louis, there was traffic galore. We were just sitting on the interstate. And so we're just creeping across the bridge. And we get to the other side, the east side of the bridge, and there's a sign here that says you can go this direction and hit the interstate, or you can go this direction and hit the interstate. And I was terrified. And we're parked on the interstate. And I was just a nervous wreck, like, that can't be right. Somebody put the signs up wrong, and all these people are just messing up. I didn't have a clue. And so if I choose this way, or we're going to get stuck in traffic, we're going to be late. And so I went to the right. And thought, I don't know what to do. I'm just following people. And sure enough, those two roads do their little loop-de-loo, and they come back into one. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. But I was relieved because the signs were right. And so the only thing I could do was put my hope in the signs. I could have stopped in the middle of the road, right, and just froze and done nothing. And sometimes we do that when we're not sure the next step to take. That can't be right for me, Lord, so I'm going to do nothing. And yet what we need to do is be able to follow His sign. And so we've got this master sign builder who's left His sign for us, His Word, who's put His sign in us, His Spirit. And what we're looking at today is how do we understand the sign? How can we follow the sign? How can we get to our destination? How can we live out our faith? And so that's the pursuit we are on here this morning. Matthew 14 is where we're going to be. We'll be in verse 22 here in just a minute. When you get to Matthew 14, you'll find some stuff going on. Remember John the Baptist, the guy who was preparing the way for Jesus to come? We get the story told, not necessarily it didn't happen then. He's reminiscing or remembering the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. And so that kind of has a different tone in my soul today than probably it did maybe 10 days ago when you think about beheadings. So I think about maybe what John the Baptist was suffering there, what that must have been like in that moment as we consider Christians today who are suffering in very similar ways. So the news reaches Jesus, and Jesus is distraught. So he goes out to a solitary place, which means he wanted to go out by himself, right? You ever want to go somewhere by yourself and nobody would leave you alone? Your phone keeps buzzing, or you got a little toddler chasing you around. You're like, I just need 30 seconds to myself. And so Jesus went to a solitary place, the Bible says, and the very next verse says, and the crowds followed him, which means he was not alone. And so he allowed this crowd to come. He had compassion on them, the Bible says. He taught them for a while, and then these people were hungry. And this is where we get the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? So you got the little boy's lunch that Jesus just multiplies, and they feed all these people, and there's leftovers, plenty of leftovers. And so Jesus says to his disciples, all right, guys, listen, it's nighttime, and I'm going to send you to the other side of the lake. So I want you to get in the boat, and I'll catch up with you later. And that's where we're going to pick up our story here this morning. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to find Jesus and his disciples having an encounter together. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. There's that solitary thing. When evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and it was tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So Jesus finally got his alone time, but the disciples are just a mess out in the middle of the sea. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a what? It's a ghost. And they cried out for fear, and any of us would have done the same thing. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, what? Ooh. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. All right, so here it is this morning. I want to look into this responsive faith, how it is that we are to work with the voice, the word, the call of God on our life. That will be our progression through this text here this morning. So three things we'll note. If you're following along in your bulletin, you can do that if you'd like. And we'll progress that way here this morning. The first thing is this, responsive faith listens for the voice of God. Responsive faith has an ear, it's kind of tuned his direction for the voice of God. I don't know, some of you have a whistle. You know, you can whistle loud. Right? We can be somewhere and maybe my children are out playing at a park or something and all these parents are talking and screaming. Well, when I whistle, you know what my children do? They recognize it. They know it. And so they're listening for the whistle of Dad. And so what we want as believers, if we are people who believe in Jesus and love God, then what we want is to hear His voice, don't we? When I read His Word, I want Him to speak to me. And when I'm living my day, I want the presence of His Spirit just drawing me or prodding me. We want to hear from Jesus. And it was no different here for our disciples. So as we're trying to live our faith by Him, faith that's not blind, by the way, all right? Faith is not blind. It's assured, it's confident, it's built totally on the Word of God, these things that God has preserved. When we try to live by faith in Him, we want to hear Him. And the disciples did as well. And in our text here, they were listening all the way. All along the way, they're listening. Okay, so let's go back to the story that we didn't read. Feeding 5,000 people, right? Remember that story? So Jesus says to His disciples, they're hungry, they've been here with us for a while, feed them. And the disciples say, okay, how? Right? So they were listening. They wanted to understand what Jesus was asking of them. Jesus said, now pass out the food. And so what'd they do? They passed out the food. So they were listening to Jesus. And Jesus says, now collect the food, the leftovers. And so what do? They collect the food. They bring in the leftovers. And so in our text, we see this exact same thing. They're listening for Jesus. They weren't piddling out in the middle of the wilderness. They weren't just off wandering somewhere away from Christ. They wanted to hear what it was that He had to say. So in verse 22, let's kind of recap that scenario here. Verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. So how does this work? How does Jesus make somebody do something? Did Jesus just come along and start picking up Peter? Get in the boat, Peter. I'm going to make you go. No, He didn't pick him up. Did He put him under a spell? You will go to the other side. And they're just like zombies? No, He didn't do that. You're absolutely right. He just told them. He said, get in the boat. And what did the guys do? They got in the boat because they were listening for Jesus. They wanted to hear from Him. And so for you and I to be able to respond in faith, it all starts with listening. I will never know how to live out my faith if I don't know what it is Jesus is asking me to do. And so He's not saying, hey, go make it up. Just figure out something to do. No, he says, I'll speak to you through my word. I'll speak through my spirit. And so we need to be people who are listening. Well, the disciples are out on the water, and we read through that. It was pretty rough, pretty windy night, and the voice comes across, right? And so the boys look at this being out on the water, and they scream, ghost, right? Terrified. They scream, ghost. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. They had never seen anybody walk on water before, right? Have you ever seen it? No. They had never seen it either. What had they seen just an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier? They saw Jesus take a sack lunch and feed thousands of people. And the thought never entered their mind that that's Jesus walking on the water. They still didn't get it, right? They still didn't understand who he was. And we're the same way. We see Jesus work this way in our life like he's answered a prayer, but we think he can't answer this bigger prayer. That's Jesus? God, you're really doing something amazing? They never thought for a minute that it was Jesus. They scream out in horror that it's a ghost. And so they yell in fear, and Jesus speaks to them, and what does he say? Verse 27, 28, and 29. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. What Peter is saying in essence is, I want to hear from you. Because this makes no sense to me. Walking on the, what is this? What kind of power is it? Who are you? If it's really you, then you tell me to come to you. He was wanting to hear from Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we always hear what we want to hear from Jesus. True? You think Peter was hoping for, come. I think Peter, you know, Peter was the guy who acted first, thought second. So Peter's standing there like, if it's you, tell me to come. Come on. And Jesus says, come. And he's like, ah, what do I do? I'd have been terrified if I was Peter. I wonder if Peter looked around and just asked the other guys, did anybody else hear him say something? Did he say he's coming here? No, Pete, he wants you to go there. So faith is not just a thought. It's not just a belief. It's something that is to be lived out. And if I'm ever going to live it out, it's got to start with me being listening. I've got to be listening to God, ready for His Spirit, His Word, His voice to speak to me. Now, the scenario is a little bit different, right? We're not going to go over Horseshoe Lake after church today and watch Jesus walk across the water and talk with Him. And so we don't interact face to face, but we have this sure word and we have His presence, His Spirit within us. It's there to guide us in how we live. Peter talked about this before he passed away. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he wrote this. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. What's the prophetic message? We have this word of God, and this word of God is completely what? It's completely true, and he wrote there, it's completely reliable. It's entirely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so Peter would say to us today, you've got what you need right here. And so listen to it. Put yourself in position where you are continually hearing the Word of God, whether that's your daily quiet time or you're reading throughout. Maybe it's driving in your car. Maybe it's cleaning your house. Maybe it's sitting at your cubicle at the office. Maybe it's when you're with your children. Maybe it's at home before bed. Maybe it's at a building like this. But we are to be saturating ourselves with what's reliable, right? Saturate ourselves with what's reliable here is what Peter says. Pay attention to it, so then you will do well. Then you'll be able to live out your faith. So initially, if we're going to respond, live out our faith, it's got to start by listening. It's got to start by listening. And so that's where we have to start here this morning. Secondly, though, let's progress here as we think about responsive faith. Responsive faith is going to rely on the Word of God. And so we're going to listen for His voice initially, and now we're going to rely on what it is that He says to us. So Peter had just heard Jesus say, come out to me out here on this water. Now, if we were Peter, how would we have responded? If it's really you, Jesus, tell me to stay in the boat. stay. Oh, it's really you, right? That would work so much better. That would probably be my approach. Or maybe we'd say like this, hey guys, come on, he told us to come, right? Hey everybody, come on, get out of the boat. What did Jesus say? It wasn't for everybody, right? Peter says, if it's really you, then tell whom? Tell me. And so I'd be like, come on, everybody. You first. You're a little older here, James. I'll help you out of the boat, and then I'll follow you. So we may work it that way. We run business meetings here, so maybe we try to have a little impromptu business meeting in the boat. Okay, did everybody really hear Jesus say, come for me? Did you guys hear that? Do you think that's a good idea for me? All in favor? Raise your right hand. Only one. All opposed? Right here. I think Peter would be in the boat with both hands in the air like, it's not me. All right? You all would have been like, yeah, it is you. All right? We didn't like you anyway, Peter. But what I love is what Peter did here. Now, we don't have the full story. We don't have every little detail. But what we see right here is this. Jesus said, come. And then in verse 29, here's what happens. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. That just blows me away. This blows me away. We wouldn't dare try to walk across Horseshoe Lake. And most of us in this room could walk across that lake with our heads out of the water. The average depth is 5 feet or less. We wouldn't dare try to walk across it. And here we see Peter just climb down. And listen, this isn't a little John boat you can step over. This is a fishing boat. The Bible says he climbed down. And so he went from a high place where he felt somewhat safe down into big waves without hesitation. Sounds like Peter didn't think he moved first. But he heard, he listened for the word of Jesus. And then he relied on that word, right? If it's you, come. Okay, I'm going to get down out of the boat. And so Peter wasn't looking for other people to validate what God said, like you and I might. Did he really say come? All in favor. We might look for other people who would say, hey, Corey, I think that's really a pretty good idea for you. Yeah, I could see that that could be God's plan for your life. Peter didn't need his peers to validate what Jesus was saying to him. It's that old expression which says, if God said it, then it what? It's true. Then it settles it. If God said it, it settles it. If you disagree with God, it doesn't matter. If I disagree with God, it's irrelevant. God said it, it settles it. And so that's the truth of the matter. That's enough for me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that we can't talk with one another. The Bible always says, or also says, there's wisdom when we approach godly counsel. So we have people in our life who are pursuing the Lord, who can talk to us and help us work through things. That's also godly. But if God's prodding something in my heart, and you're telling me to go different, then where am I going to follow? Who am I going to follow? Hopefully I'll follow Christ, right? Because we don't need our peers, our spouses, our children to validate what Jesus is asking us to do. And so Peter listens and then he relies on this word of Jesus to get out of the boat. He knew the word was fully authoritative. He knew what Jesus would ask is always right and it's always best, even if it doesn't make sense. You ever been there? Give in such a... Lord, I need this. No, I want you to give it. Okay, well, here. And we give it, and you think, that doesn't make sense. And you go approach somebody that you don't even know because you see that they're in distress, and so you talk to them, and you feel like this prodding in your spirit, like, I need to help. I need to do something. Most people say, that doesn't make sense. That's none of your business. Just stay out of it. Why are you getting involved? Because I feel like I'm supposed to get involved here. Maybe you don't need my help, or maybe you do. Right? Sometimes we take steps that just seem absurd. And yet those are always the right steps to take when they're prodded by the Word of God or the Spirit of God at work within us. So rather than rely on the advice of the crowd, let's listen for the voice of Jesus and rely on what He says. Right? Don't bank your life on my opinion. You ever feel like people are entitled to your opinion? You're like, you need to hear what I've got to say. Right? Sometimes that's helpful. More times than not, it's unhelpful. All right? Doesn't mean we can't have opinions and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we want to listen for and rely on what Jesus has said. That's where I'm staking my life. That's what I'm standing on. So we're going to listen for his voice. We're going to rely on that same voice. And then third here, we're going to talk about the response. Obviously, response of faith responds to the call of God. It responds to the call of God. And so we're going to listen for the voice of God. We're going to rely on the Word of God. And now we're going to respond to the call of God. So Peter heard Jesus say, come, but Peter didn't just hear, right? That's not how the story goes. Peter didn't get back on the shore and say, you know, Jesus told me to come to the walk on him or walk on the water to him. I just didn't do it. So he didn't just hear it and then go tell a story about it. He wasn't sitting in the boat teaching others, hey, listen, when you call out to Jesus and he says come, then you need to go. He didn't just know a truth. He wasn't just passing on a truth. He listened. He trusted. And then he got out of the boat. And that's how faith is supposed to work, right? It's not enough to know the promises of God. What good is a promise of God if I'm not going to live my life based on that promise? And I will supply all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we walk out of here like we got to do everything on our own to supply our needs. Because we know a promise, we just don't live by faith. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose. I've got a future. I've got a hope for you. And we go out and try to chart our own course. And we'd say that promise is true, but sometimes we live like it's not. Those are two very different things. The last man on the planet I ever want to be is a guy who stands here and says one thing and walks out of here and lives a totally different way. Not perfect at all. But my ambition is to be genuine, is to be true to the command and to the teachings of Jesus. Live it out. Respond to the call of his life or call of your life that comes from his voice. So it's not enough to know it. It's not enough to memorize it. It's not enough to be able to teach it to other people and say, this would be good for you. It's something that you and I must be living out. Remember when Jesus gave our life commission? Matthew wrote this at the end of the letter, at the end of his little book here, the end of the gospel. He gave us our life commission. We quote this here often, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He tells us, to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? To observe or to obey. So it doesn't just say teaching them everything, right? There's two little words there that are very important. Teaching them to obey. Teaching them to observe. It's not just pass on truth. It's live this out. Obey it. This is life. This is how we should be walking, talking, living each and every day. We respond to the call of God because this is the commission of God that we would go and teach everything that we've been commanded. And then his promise is, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So hearing the voice of God, then obeying the voice of God, that's how it's supposed to be demonstrated through us. And what I love here about this is that last little tagline, Jesus is with us. Right? Surely I'm with you to the end of the age. We see that also here in our story. See, Jesus understands somewhere along the way you're going to doubt. And he understands somewhere along the way I'm going to have doubts. And so he doesn't cast us out for our doubts. What does he do? All right, so he's going to rescue us. He's going to point out our doubt. He's going to point out our shortfall, but he's also there to save us. He's there to rescue us. He says, surely I'm with you. And that was absolutely true here for Peter. Sometimes we're going to start sinking because we get our eyes looking other directions than to Christ. Verse 30 and 31, Matthew 14. Peter's out of the boat. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? See, I love that he didn't leave Peter to drown. That gives me hope. I love that he didn't just say, well, I told you to get out of the boat and you should have trusted me. It's your own fault, fool. You're looking at the big wave. You should be looking at me. You're paying attention to the wind. You're listening to it how. You're not looking for me. He didn't just beat him up and walk away. He immediately reached out his hand and he saved him. And then he says, listen, it's not you don't have faith. What did he say? You got a little faith. He didn't say you have no faith. And so don't start thinking when you're doubting that you have no faith. Don't start thinking when you can't make all the puzzle pieces fit together that you must not be a Christian. That's the work of our enemy. That's the work of our adversary, creating doubt within us. Jesus knows that we're people who are prone to sink. And that's why he's always willing to reach out to save and rescue us. And so I love that he didn't just condemn him. I love that he didn't say, you have no faith. I love that the text says he reached out his hand immediately and he caught him. Listen, sometimes in life we're going to find ourselves in positions where we're going to wonder, how am I ever going to get through this? How can I accomplish what is being asked of me? How can I fulfill God's call in my life? It just seems insurmountable. I don't think this is anything I can do. Listen, if you're ever there, remember Peter. As far as I know, other than Jesus, Peter is the only guy on the planet who has the testimony that I walked on water. Right? And you think you're going to be Pete? I'm going to go watch you. You tell me where you're going and I'll show up. And I'll cheer you on and I'll watch you drown. Because I don't think Jesus is asking you to walk water. He's got a more important call. Right? And that is a call that I'll ambassador and I'll cheer and I'll champion you on. And you'll do the same back to me as we live out that commission here for our life. And so Peter listened and he heard. And he relied, and then he responded with obedience. And yes, he began to sink, but what I think Peter would tell us today is this: I would much rather have gotten out of that boat and started sinking than stayed in that boat scared to death for my life. I'm sure it was scary walking the windy waves, but the last place I want to stay is somewhere where Jesus has told me not to be. Right? To stay in the boat is disobedience. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't, hey, let me prove it to you. Jesus said, come. When I look at my children in my home and I say, come, you come here, what do I expect? You come here. To stay there is not allowed. You asked, that's disobedience. I don't want to be in the boat. I don't care how windy it is. I don't care how many times I doubt and feel like I'm going to sink. I know Jesus is with me and he's with you as well. Don't be terrified of what God is calling you to do. I don't know how to go make disciples. You do. Jesus saved you? Has he? Then you know how. Go tell your story. You don't have to open up in Genesis and work somebody through the whole text in a 5-minute summary. What did Jesus do for you? That's what people want to hear first. And then we come back to the text. Just like we read today. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Talked about pretty feet. Right? That reverse progression. You've got people calling and being saved. How can they call if they've not heard? Or how can they call if they don't believe? How can they believe if they don't hear? How can they hear if no one preaches? And how can they preach if they're not sent? Right? We've been sent. Jesus said, what? Go and make disciples of all nations. You know how to do it. Are you scared? Am I scared? Man, that can be terrifying. But it's worth taking the risk. It's worth getting out of the boat. The promise, the tagline there for all of our life, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. There's a guy I like to listen to, and you've probably heard him as well. His name's Francis Chan. In his book called Forgotten God, Francis writes this. He says, I don't want my life, or I don't want to live my life in such a way that everything in my life is explainable apart from God. I don't want to live my life in such a way that everything about me is explainable apart from God. Which means there's nothing that I'm doing that's demonstrating that I have faith. There's nothing at work within me that demonstrates there's a power bigger than me. Everything can just be explained because Corey can do it. To live in such a way requires us to live with this kind of faith. Faith in the voice of God. Do you have it? Do you believe that Jesus will speak to you? Do you believe that God's word is truth? That it can satisfy or nourish or grow you? Faith in the voice of God means I understand his leading is always right. So I want to encourage you today, listen for him. Listen for him. What have you got in your hands? What have you got in your cars? What have you got at home? We've got this reliable word of God. And Peter says, we'd do well if we just follow it. Take time to listen. Whatever he asks, we know that we can rely on him. That was the second part here today. There's nothing that he could ever ask of us that would lead us in a way that's inappropriate or that would bring dishonor to our Father. And then his promise is, I'm always with you. I'll help you accomplish this. So you be willing to get out of that boat. You be willing to talk. You be willing to follow the prodding of my Spirit. Don't be willing to disobey. See, the goal of life is to live in ways that are pleasing to him. And that's the end of it all, right? When I stand before Jesus, I want to know that I've done my best to please and honor him. I don't want to just stand there and talk about what he's done for me. I want to be able to stand there and have something to say in return. I've tried. I wanted to live for your glory. I've worked in ways that your word says are pleasing and honoring to you. The Bible says, be that good and faithful servant. And so I want to ask you as we close here, first is this, are you listening for God? Are you putting yourself in position where you can hear the voice of God? Right here's a good start. But if it stops here, it's a bad start. If the only place we hear the voice of God is in a 30 or 40 minute message once a week, we're not going to get the voice of God. Read his word. Pray. Take time to marinate like we talked about initially this morning. Are you relying on God? I mean, it's his word, the absolute truth. Whatever he has said, are you saying, I'm doing it? Have you already settled that in your mind? And we talk, I'm supposed to love my enemies. You love people that hate you? Right? We're all works in progress, right? Are we blessing those who curse us? Have we already determined in our mind, if we talked here Wednesday night, we have the DQ kind of motto, you can treat me wrong, but I'm going to treat you right. Every time. See, that's obedience to the word. That's hard. I mean, it's not just don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Sometimes that can be difficult as well, but this is good. It's hard to talk with people who hate us and love them in return. And yet that's the call of God. It's hard to give freely when you feel like what's in your hands needs to go towards yourself. And yet he said, you be just as free with what I've given you and I'll take care. My Father knows all my needs. Didn't he say that? He takes care of the birds, takes care of the lilies of the field. You think he can't take care of you? Take care of me? Absolutely. Yesterday I was handing out some free stuff and this big old guy came walking up and, what have you got? I said, we've got all this free cup or popsicle, Capri Sun, tattoo. What do you want? And he said, oh, it's free like salvation. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely right. Are you relying on God or are you looking for other people to validate what God has said? Again, there's wisdom and godly counsel, but ultimately it's going to come down to you and God. I won't answer for how you responded to God. Nor will you answer for me. I want to help you, and I need your help in return. But ultimately, we've got to listen for, respond to, rely on what God is prodding in us. Jesus told Peter to come, and Jesus has told us to what? Go. And so as you go, wherever you go, let this be pressing on your heart. As you go, ask the Lord, prod my mind. Help me not to see somebody who's had a rough day or somebody who's angry with me. Help me to see somebody who has a soul that Jesus willingly laid down his life for. Help me to see that person as God has given me the message to ambassador to them. See, I don't think we get it, church. I think for the most part, we don't get it. We come and sit through Sunday after Sunday and we know the stories and we walk out of here and we don't live it. Life here matters. Your life has purpose, and it really does count. Don't be afraid to get out of the boat. Don't be afraid to follow the Lord and what he's asking you to do. And know that he goes with you. Know that we pray for you as well. Live your life in such a way that demonstrates faith in him. I don't want my life to be explainable apart from God. If it is, what a waste. What a waste.